You know, Steve, I admit it. I got a hang-up, Steve. I got a lot of hang-ups, but I admit this hang-up. If somebody wants to buy me a calzone, I would be delighted. I don't think the Bucks holes are that glaring.
Here is Ira Kaufman, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, on the Ira Kaufman podcast. He's everywhere. He's Ira. He's all over town. And his podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford. You can listen to the last podcast at joebucksfan.com. Other podcasts are there as well. Follow the Sage. Subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict. Last podcast of the Sage dove into how the Buccaneers view their draft needs and not how fans and us observers do. We observers. But the Sage dove into the Bucks' point of view. Ira, we're going to hit on other things today. In the meantime, anybody who wants to save up to $5,000 when they're buying a new vehicle, Bill Curry Ford has their tax match going on right now. They're doubling deposits. They'll match your tax refund. You can still buy with no deposit. They have a lot of different options there, but check it all out. BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Nationwide lifetime warranty. New vehicles. Ira Kaufman discount is always in effect. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry on the east side. Legendary family-owned Bill Curry. That's the family name. Bill Curry, C-U-R-R-I-E, Ford. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan wants to guide you and help you. Find him at their website and ask him any question you want. Just do it. You will be talking to a big boss at a big dealership who knows all about the business, and he'll help you and guide you, and he loves the Bucks. What more could you ask for? BillCurryFord.com. We thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. FloridasElitereStoration.com. Call them first for any disaster at your property, flood, mold, fire, storm damage, water. Water's a killer. Call them immediately. Get to their website to learn what they're all about and prepare for your disaster plan. FloridasElitereStoration.com. We'll talk more about them later. Ira, how are you today?
Steve, I'm feeling good because I got a little clarity personally. You know, our listeners, our beloved listeners, thousands and thousands of them out in, Acapulco and Vietnam and all points in between. They've heard my travails with this bum hip and the torn labrum over the years that I've lived with. And today I went to an orthopedist, took an x-ray and said, there's no doubt about it. You have to have hip replacement. There's a new technique called anterior, A-N-T-E-R-I-O-R. That is the technique. It's less invasive, quicker recovery. I'm going under the knife next month. I'm not nervous about it. I know there's anesthesia involved. I won't remember a thing. And then, you know, I got to recover from it. But, Lee, I got a little clarity. It wasn't going to get any better. I can't play tennis the way I am right now. I can't whip up on Mr. Isbitz, which is a goal of mine this summer. I'm going to be doing a lot of walking, May, June, July, the heat of the summer. They want you to walk right away, like the next day, start walking. So, Lee, if you see me in your neighborhood wandering around, that's going to be me trying to loosen up my left hip.
You're in my neighborhood, you're lost.
Lee, would you give me a drink of water? Would you come out of your house and give me a drink of water?
Sure, we'd still be lost.
So, Steve, I got peace of mind. Stevie, I got a little peace of mind. I knew what was going to happen today. I mean, I knew, you know, all of a sudden nothing was going to heal on its own. I said, what about that torn hip labrum? Can you repair that? He goes, you don't have any labrum anymore. It's all ground to dust. You need a new hip. So I said, what about the right one? He says, the right one looks good. Right one looks good. It looks normal. So, Lee, little arthritis. You know, I'm not 25 anymore. Now I'm 30. It makes a difference. Lee, you're getting up there a little bit. You might have a little arthritis yourself. Some of your joints, you never know. But I'm going first, Lee. I'm getting this thing done next month.
Ira, this is sad news. Ira, you know, where should we direct our listeners to send you some sympathy cards and maybe some uplifting gifts?
I would say Joey's Pizza in Trinity. Is one of my haunts, and if somebody wants to buy me a calzone, I would be delighted, Steve. So we'll work that out at the proper time.
Yeah, man, you know, maybe we'll put a GoFundMe up there. Might have a little fun with it, you know, Ira.
But Steve, I'll be completely recovered, I believe, by my birthday. I will be fully recovered And I might do a little dance, a little shimmy. Picked up a few things from Taylor Swift. So look out. If Lee's there, he might upchuck his drink when he sees that. But Lee, I'm learning some dance moves out there. You never know when it comes in handy when you go to one buck place.
All right. Hey, question of the day. Adam Schefter, who is a close friend of Greenberg, the assistant GM at the Bucks, gets the inside scoop directly there. Adam Schefter says Antoine Winfield Jr. is going to be getting a deal that probably will make him the NFL's highest paid safety. That would eclipse Derwin James at $19 million a year. How does this impact the draft? You know, yeah, nobody's surprised that they're going to give Winfield a big contract. Maybe you are surprised or you have a little opinion there. But how does this impact the draft, which is in 2 weeks?
Well, first of all, giving him that designation, the three of us were sitting with a Buck executive, and he called that, it's a placeholder. It's a placeholder, which means you're looking for a long-term extension. I think it's going to happen, Lee, before training camp. I think Winfield's going to sign an extension, a long one, and he's going to get paid. And Lee, Jason Light, I don't think that phases him one bit. Lee, we're old enough to remember when Ryan Jensen signed, Lee, a lot of people thought the Bucks overpaid. They made him the highest paid center, Lee. That wasn't that long ago.
3 years later, they're hoisting a Lombardi trophy.
That's right. And Jason Light didn't look back, didn't think twice about it. They absolutely love Winfield. What's not to love? Bowles, Stevie, played the position. It's a position he knows better than any other. He played safety in the National Football League for almost a decade. He knows the good ones, the elite ones. And Bowles considers Winfield elite. Enough said. Now, how does it impact the draft? Well, Steve, I'm not sure what you're getting to because I never thought they were going to draft the safety. Now that Whitehead's back on the roster, I don't think the money they're giving Winfield is going to affect anything in terms of a draft prospect. So, Steve, I already had safety crossed off as a need. I think it's, Lee, it might be the strength of the team. Whitehead and Winfield. That tandem, that could be the strength of the team right now.
I agree with you. It very well could be. Outside of defensive tackle, I think you're right, Ira.
Well, Ira, look, I had to ask because, you know, the draft isn't just about 1 year. It's about long-term and planning and all this other stuff. And, you know, it's all moving parts.
Both, Steve, they're both young. One guy's 24. One guy's, you know, maybe they're both 24. They're going to be Bucks for a long time, both of those guys, Steve.
What do you think? Are you talking about Whitehead?
I'm talking about Whitehead and Winfield, yeah.
Well, as it relates to the structure of the team, right, building the roster, if we're trying to think like borderline general managers here, last year they spent nothing at the safety position. Antoine Winfield on the fourth year. Well, I'm being realistic here. He's on the fourth year of his rookie deal as a second-round pick, not making a lot of money. And Ryan Smith.
Ryan Neal.
Ryan Neal, yeah.
So these guys were making no money. Now you've got maybe the most expensive safety tandem coming up in the National Football League. So what does that tell you about where they may not invest somewhere else on the defense?
Well, it happens. Lee, look at the quarterback position. You know, Mayfield was making $4 million last year. That's out the window. It happens when you've had a little bit of success. You got to pay your top players, Lee. You got to pay them. When they're off the rookie contracts, you either pay them or you lose them in free agency. They made a decision about Whitehead a couple of years ago, Lee. I think they came to regret it. The Jets plucked them. I don't know why the Jets allowed them to hit free agency again, but the Bucks were wise to pick them up. So, Steve, you know, there's certain positions they're not paying a lot of money for. Running back right now, defensive line other than Vea, and cornerback other than Dean. There's places. And, you know, Greenberg, who, by the way, Steve said Greenberg's tight with Schefter. He's tight with this Schrager guy. I mean, this guy Greenberg gets around, Lee.
He knows the right people to talk to, heavy hitters.
And he was gracious enough to sit down with us at the combine.
He sits down with you. He hangs with Schefter. He hangs with Peter Schrager. He knows.
Absolutely. And, Lee, I don't think it's going to be long that I think the Bucks are going to lose him. Word's gotten around the league. This guy's really sharp. So somebody's going to grab him. But that happens. I'm sure Light would wish him the best. Doesn't want to lose him. Same thing with Spytek. I think they're a little stunned that they still have these guys, that nobody's come and grabbed them.
I just wonder how much of that is posturing in the public and how much of that is sincere. Like, you know, if you really value someone, you really want to see him take off? No. So it's either one or the other. You want him to get a job or you don't want him to get a job and stay with you. So I don't fully buy that. I mean, I understand that they're friends and they're colleagues and they wish good things for them, but secretly, down deep, you give Glazers or Light True Serum, they're happy they're still there.
Yeah, I understand your point. Like, Pete Carroll didn't want to lose Canales a year ago. They were very close. But you're right. They're torn. They're a little bit torn. But part of them wants to keep the guy, Lee. You're absolutely right.
Now, to answer Steve's question, you talk about a flat fastball coming down Central Avenue. You know, what are they not going to pay? Do you really have to ponder that question to know the answer? Real, think about this. What position? I mean, I'm about ready to go mental here. And you know what I'm always harping on, and I won't shut up about it until they do something. What position will they not invest in?
Well, right now it's edge rusher, Lee.
Thank you. Thank you. And then I'll just say fans. Fans are screaming, oh, the reason why they didn't get us on Reddit because it's $15 million. Well, guess what? Josh Allen's getting paid. Double that.
They may come to regret that Hassan Reddick. Now, I don't know if they could have got him, Lee. Maybe he had his sights on another team. But it doesn't sound like they gave much of an effort, Steve. If some of these guys don't pan out, some of these young guys, and they don't hit a home run in free agency, they really might regret not going after one of those veterans.
You know, Lee brought it up. I wasn't going to go there. But, Sage, what do you make of $30 million for Josh Allen with the Jaguars? That's an unbelievable annual number. It's not all guaranteed, but that's what he's going to get paid per year while he's on this contract. Well, what do you think of that number? That is gigantic.
I'm a little surprised, as you are, Steve. He's good, maybe very good. I don't think he's Myles Garrett. I don't think he's J.J. Watt. Not quite in that class, but he's good. That's a lot of money, and they got holes. You know, you think the Bucs have holes, and I don't think the Bucs have a tremendous amount of holes. I really don't. Other teams are looking for a quarterback. The Bucs aren't. But Jacksonville's got holes all over the board. They fell apart last year. They fell apart. There's even some questions about the coach right now. Even the quarterback. He did not have a good season, Lawrence Lee. Especially
that game he had against Kansas City in the playoffs. I thought, oh boy, look out! Here we go. Yeah. And he hasn't really matched that since.
I'm surprised at the Allen contract, Steve. I think it's a little high.
All right, the sage has spoken. Now, Ira, okay, so we got Winfield in the house. We were told at the Combine all the free agents would come in and that it was a placeholder, and here we are. So, hey, they got the job done. They've gotten everything they wanted, including the quarterback. One thing I didn't ask you, Ira, in our last episode when we were projecting the Bucks' feelings about each position, I didn't ask you about quarterback. I realized it after I listened through it. So, Sage, I'll ask you right now, how do you think the Bucks view the quarterback position right now? Trask, Wolford, the new offensive coordinator, Mayfield, and this draft, and maybe even upcoming drafts. How do they see it?
I think they see it differently than I see it. I'll talk about myself first. You know, I've talked a lot of times over the years in podcasts, and maybe it's a minor point, but you know, once in a while, Lee, you need your backup quarterback to win a couple of games in the middle of the season. You know, a guy's out for 5 weeks. You don't want to go 1-4, Lee. You want to go 3-2 and keep hope alive until your guy gets back. And Lee Wolford, I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, what are we talking about? Very little track record. Trask, no track record. That's why I kept throwing up that Mike Penix thing. All right, I'm off that, Steve. I'm off it. But as far as I'm concerned, I still think Mayfield's got some things to prove, Lee. I do. He hasn't put together 3, 4, 5 good years in a row. He hasn't. He had a good season. There's no question about it. He far surpassed all of our expectations, including Todd Bowles and Jason Light and Joel Glazer. Throw them in the mix. None of them expected Mayfield to do what he did. Now that he did, he's getting paid. But again, Lee, the long track record isn't there. It's not there. And I don't know what the situation is going to be 2 years from now with Mayfield. Is he going to be ascending? Is he going to be entering his prime as a top 10 quarterback in this league? I don't know that. I think they have to address it. Is it a priority? Not necessarily. But if a guy falls into their laps, I think they would be foolish to not capitalize, Lee, if a guy like Penix falls. Don't trade up 10 spots to get him. Don't do that. But if he falls, you take him. Now, Lee, before I turn it over to you, what I think the Bucks look at it very differently. I think Bowles is completely sold on Mayfield, completely. I don't think Bowles has very many questions or concerns, if at all, about number six. I can't speak about what Bowles thinks about Wolford or Trask. We know what Light likes to say about Trask. I think they're comfortable where they are, Lee. They got a fairly known quantity. But I'll say it again, Lee. He doesn't have the track record of, say, a Kirk Cousins. He doesn't, Mayfield. Part of it's injuries. But, you know, Cousins, when healthy, he strung 5, 6, 7 good seasons together, Lee. That's why Atlanta didn't hesitate. We want this guy. We'll see about Mayfield. Right now, they're looking good, the Bucs, but I think they need to look at it realistically. And if they have a chance, Lee, to get a guy that they can develop, I think they should pounce on.
Oh, I totally agree. We've been over this before. I'm fully in lockstep with you. If Penix somehow happens to slip to 27, or even in the 20s, I go get him. I said, you take your time. You just learn. You're not going to start for a couple of years. You're going to be on the bench. It worked for Jordan Love. Worked for Aaron Rodgers. Worked for a lesser degree with Patrick Mahomes. Just be patient. Now, someone would argue, well, you know, he's 24 years old. Now you're looking at a 26-year-old. I get it. But I'll one-up you on one of your rhetorical questions, Ira. You said you don't know, and I agree with you, you don't know where the Bucks will be with Mayfield in 2 years. Fair question. But I'll one-up you. Where are we with Todd Bowles in 2 years? You know, Bowles has a couple times in the last few months, he brought it up, no one else did, retirement. And then, you know, someone asked him, like, well, are you really seriously thinking about retiring soon? And he said something along the lines was, he wants to watch his son play football. And his youngest son, as we know, plays for Georgia. And I was, you know, just assumptions, just putting two and two together, that if he's going to be starting for Georgia, there's a good chance he's going to be in the NFL. And maybe when this kid gets drafted, Bowles will say, yeah, that's it, I'm done, I've had enough. I'll go watch my son play on Sundays. So I don't know if Bowles is going to be around in 2 years, much less what the position Mayfield's going to be in.
That's an interesting way to look at it, Lee. I hadn't thought about that in terms of Bowles. I thought more you were trying to imply that if the Bucks don't have a lot of success in the next 2 years, Bowles is back on the chopping block. But that's
not what you meant.
Steve, I think Bowles' future is tied very much with Baker Mayfield. Steve, if Mayfield regresses, possible, he regresses or gets hurt significantly, I don't think the Bucks can survive that, Steve. I don't think they got a good enough roster to survive that. I'll say it one more time. I know Buck fans get frustrated when I say it, but darn it, since Brady came to town, I mean, that's 4 years, Steve. I don't think their quarterback has missed a game in 4 years, Steve. Their starting quarterback. I mean, that is very rare, Steven. Very rare.
So, Lee, where do you think the Bucks are as it relates to quarterback? Do you agree with Ira that Todd Bowles would rather have an enema than get a rookie quarterback?
Well, that might be, but you know what? You can't underappreciate the influence of Team Glazer, especially if a guy like Penix is there, or even Nix. You know, any other year, those guys wouldn't even come anywhere close to the Bucks.
That's
but
right.
Because it's the quarterback-loaded draft. Guys are going to get pushed down. The same thing with wide receiver. I don't know where Bowles stands 2 years from now. I don't know if the Bucks are even winning. And he says, you know what, I'm going to watch my son play in the NFL. It's been a good ride, and I'm just done with football. Nothing anti-Bucks. Nothing anti-you, Mr. Glazer, but I want to watch my son. You know, we don't know that. Now, as far as Mayfield goes, and I'm not saying this because I expect him to melt down or I'm being anti-Mayfield at all, but he just had a career year. just by the law of averages, it's not uncommon to see a regression to the means. You know, that could be maybe 300 yards less pass.
Right.
I would not bet a substantial amount of money that he's going to surpass last year. He might, and I hope he does, because that probably means the Bucs will go farther in the postseason. But I honestly expect him to regress a little bit. Not much, you know, one less touchdown or 300 or 400 yards less passing. Nothing major, but just the law of averages. If you have a career year, you don't necessarily have a second career year, a second year in a row.
And Steve, the metric that Lee didn't touch on, which I think is the most significant one as far as the head coach is concerned, Steve, he can throw for 300 less yards. He can throw for a couple of less touchdowns. Maybe that means the running game is better. Maybe. But, Steve, what he's not going to be able to overcome, I think, in Bowles' mind, is if he throws 14 or 15 picks. And he didn't do that. And he didn't do that last year. The one thing Bowles is very, very consistent about, Steve, you've heard him do it, say it a million times. Mistakes. That's what he dwells on. Don't beat yourself with mistakes. And Mayfield lived up to that last year. Their turnover differential was very good, upper echelon. And that was a big help. I know Lee thinks that sometimes we go overboard with the turnover ratio, but it is a very telling metric over the years, Lee. It is significant. And I think that's the biggest reason that Bowles is completely won over with Mayfield at this point.
That's a huge part of it, Ira. I got to disagree, Lee, a little bit, or really just flat out. I don't believe it was a career year for Mayfield. Just statistically speaking, as a rookie, he made 13 starts. He had 27 touchdowns. Last year, he had 28 touchdowns in four more starts. If you go by, or if you even entertain quarterback rating, he had the same quarterback rating as a rookie as he did in 2020. And in 2020, he was more proficient with his touchdown interception ratio, and his completion percentage was pretty much the same. I really believe that he pretty much had the same year he had as a rookie and as in 2020. So I think this is the good Baker Mayfield when he has a situation that fits him. So I don't expect him to regress at all, because I don't really think he played better than he did in 2020 or his rookie year.
So you think when he's healthy, Steve, that is Baker Mayfield when he's healthy?
Yeah, I think the stats show this is who he is. He played an extra game. He put up some more yards. I mean, he threw an extra 200 yards than he did in 2019, and extra 300 than he did as a rookie in four less games. I think this is who he is.
Yeah. Well, he opened a lot of eyes last year, Lee. Certainly ours. He did. And Lee, he played well in the postseason. Like, he finished strong. He did.
Yeah, the only you know, the same people, not necessarily the same people, but a good chunk of the same people that harp about the Cooper Kupp play, they point to Mayfield's pick in the loss to Detroit. I'm like, see?
I don't agree with that, Lee. I don't. I don't agree with it. He played well that day, but Detroit had a better team. And I think the Lions made the plays in the fourth quarter to win it, Lee. In the words of Lovie Smith, like, simple as that.
Yeah, I think those people are a little crazy. It's one play. I mean, come on, it's one play, and not what you wanted. And, you know, he's forcing balls. He's trying to push it down the field. It didn't happen, but,
right.
I mean,
people
are pointing at that, and, you threw the game away. It's crazy. Sage, I will point out, I've been watching some old Bucs games. For some reason, I don't know why, late against Houston, Bucs were losing. And they had one last play at their own 20, and for some reason they didn't take a knee and walk off the field. I don't know what happened there. Todd Bowles, I guess, was not sure what he was thinking, but they threw the ball, and then they tried to pull some sort of wild lateral situation and did everything they could to win to the final second. So whenever I hear Detroit, I think of Houston and wonder why Todd Bowles just mailed it in with time on the clock. I still never will get over that.
You know what was the killer about the Houston game, Lee, is that the offense, so pedestrian, Lee, so pedestrian for most of the season, didn't score, scored 20 points or less like in half the games, maybe even more. And, Lee, that game, the offense was really good. They scored a ton of points, and they could not stop Stroud and those young receivers. They just couldn't do it. Boy, that game's on Bowles in defense, and he knew it when the game ended. You can't score that many points and not come away with a victory. That was a killer, Lee. If they would have lost the division title, that I think that's the game everybody would have looked at.
Wow.
Maybe the first Atlanta game. Maybe.
I would say that, especially coming on the heels of some really great play by the defense, specifically Winfield. And I would also say, had they lost the game to the Panthers on the road, oh my gosh, just imagine if that did happen. And it came close. They damn near blew that game. They pulled away in the end, but for three quarters, the Bucs offense played like garbage. Mayfield probably shouldn't have been out there. Wow, they would have lost that game and thus missed the playoffs. We'd still be talking about that game. Still.
You're right, Lee. You're right, Steve. Looking back at that Carolina game in Charlotte, you know what the mindset was? Now, look,
I'll tell you the mindset. You asked me the question. The mindset was, we're terrified to start Kyle Trask, and Baker Mayfield can barely walk. That's the mindset.
That was the mindset. Along with this, Steve, don't lose this game. Don't lose it yourself. Rather than let's go win the game. I don't think the philosophy, Lee, was to win the game. It was not to lose the game, and it was apparent.
It was a quote from the great Jim Valvano applied here. Survive in advance.
Survive in advance. Yep. And Steve made a great point. They didn't trust Kyle Trask that day. They didn't trust him.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, they would have put him out there. Ira, I got a question for you about, had they lost that game. And like I said, fans would still be talking about that game today, first week of April. I got a question for you, Ira. If they lose that game, is Todd Bowles still coach?
I think that's a very viable question. Very viable. Lee, I said all year I thought the magic number was 9 for Bowles, a winning season. He attained it.
Mm-hmm.
Had they lost that game, they don't attain it. All of a sudden, they're 8-9. They don't win the division. I think there's a good chance there's a coaching change at that point, Lee. I do.
Wow. That was a big win. A survival. A big survival in more ways than one.
Hey, Sage, I got two questions for you. I went back. I listened finally to Dave Canales at the owners' meetings do his roundup with reporters, his roundtable, and he was asked about the quarterback position and the backup quarterback position. And he goes on this rant, and I'm going to quote from it here, Ira, because he dared to say the word Kyle Trask, and it was kind of stunning. So Canales says he doesn't believe that the number 3 quarterback should be a developmental guy to become a future number 2. He believes, quote, I would love to have 2 guys behind your starter who have real playing time, real game experience, because as we go around the room and we start talking about defenses, during the week, they all have an experience against this defensive coordinator or that coordinator, and they add that value and it really elevates the starter. So he says, quote, if you think about Kyle Trask, like Kyle Trask didn't have a lot of game experience in Tampa. And meaning that he couldn't elevate the starter, I guess. And then he pointed to John Wolford. He said, John Wolford played a lot, played against me in Seattle, played in a similar system. So what do you make of Canales saying he doesn't like a backup quarterback who has no experience? Meanwhile, Kyle Trask was just his backup quarterback, and they were telling everybody that he's starter material.
There's a lot of confusion about Mr. Trask. Lee, we don't know anything about him. I mean, we don't. We see him in training camp, for 2-3 weeks, taking snaps in underwear football, Lee. But when the lights are bright, Lee, he's holding the clipboard. And he's done so throughout his pro career. I think that number 3 quarterback spot is made for a guy like Michael Penix, Lee. I think he's perfect. Now, look, is he going to be there at 26? I'm not sure he's not. You never know. And Lee made a great point. In another season, Bo Nix and Penix would be gobbled up in the first 10 to 15 picks. And this year they won't be, probably. And I think the Bucs need to capitalize on that, Lee. As much as they need that edge rusher, Lee, I just got this feeling. I don't think it's a great year for edge rushers, Lee. You've written about that.
It's not.
And now you're going to get the fifth or sixth best outside linebacker on most people's boards. Or, Steve, you can take a developmental quarterback like Penix. If he doesn't make it, no harm done. Nobody's screaming about Trask that he hasn't contributed. You know, he wasn't a top 10 pick. Penix won't be a top 10 pick. I can't get off this thing, Steve, mostly because I still can't believe this thing about a quarterback drafted by the Bucs getting a second contract with the Bucs. I just can't get over it.
I 4 years from now, whoever the coach is, whoever the quarterback is, whoever the backup is, we're still going to hear about Kyle Trask. This will be for the next decade. Trust me.
Sage,
you know, I think he's going to end up like Mike Glennon, Steve, and probably play 10 or 12 years. And at the end of that, we're not going to know much more about him than we do now.
Sage, I got to slap you around a little bit because I'm confused, and I'm legitimately confused here. You keep telling me these quarterbacks would no way, shape, or form slip in the draft in another year, but there's a million teams that need a quarterback, so why would they even get close? I mean, you got the Bears are taking a quarterback, the Commanders are taking a quarterback, the Patriots, the Giants, most likely, the Broncos, that's five right there, and you haven't even gotten to the Falcons. Maybe they won't, but the Vikings have no quarterback. The Raiders have no quarterback. Seattle, are they going to stick with Geno Smith? And they draft ahead of the Bucs. It's like nine teams and five quarterbacks. So what am I missing here? Why,
well,
if they're any good, why would they possibly show up near the Bucs?
Because as Lee mentioned, Penix's age might scare off some teams. Might. It doesn't scare me off. If he's ready to play at 26 and the Bucs are moving on from Mayfield, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but it could be happening at that point. Penix getting the job at 26 doesn't scare me, Lee. It doesn't. You can get 6-7 years out of Michael Penix. I got no problem with that. That's a home run for Jason Light. Steve, you mentioned the Giants. I don't know that the Giants are taking a quarterback, Steve. They still got that Daniel Jones problem. He's just enough to get a coach fired, Daniel Jones. That's who he is. He's got a little Steve DeBerg in him, Steve, Lee.
Ira.
A little Steve DeBerg.
Ira, if Drake May is still on the board and the Giants are sitting there, the fans there will go absolutely insane if that's the case. If one of those
I think May will be one of the first three or four picks. I think. I'll tell you who's sitting pretty, Lee, in a sense, is the Chargers. As a Chief fan, I'm a little worried because Harbaugh's a good coach, Lee. Whatever you think of him, he's a good coach. And they got a good quarterback. And I think, Marvin Harrison, who I think is one of the surest players in the draft, along with Bowers, in my opinion, he's going to be there for the Chargers. Now, they've lost a couple of receivers, but Harrison Jr., he's going to be a stud, so... I don't know about the Giants, Steve, but I understand your point. Teams like Denver, the Raiders, I don't know what the Raiders are thinking. They certainly could use somebody. The Vikings certainly could use somebody. McCarthy's out there, so he'll be part of the big four. And then we'll see where it goes. Do I think Penix will be there at 26, Lee? I don't think so. But like you said, Lee, if he's there at 20 – Go get him. I'm not opposed to it, Steve. I'm not.
The draft scuttlebutt is Bo Nix. He's spooking a lot of teams. They don't like the offense he played in. I'm sure his history with Auburn, which was terrible, is factoring in as well. But he might slide big. When I say big time, like, you know, maybe to the Bucks, maybe. And Penix, that's Bo Nix. And Penix, and I'd love to have Bo Nix. That guy's so accurate. And then there's also scuttlebutt that Sean Payton drools over the guy. So we shall see, as the great Mo Howard would say. And with Penix, you know, there's a couple of knocks on him. One is his age, and two is he throws deep beautifully. But the intermediate and short passes, scouts are not happy about him. Would I pick him if I had a number 15 pick? Would I pick Penix? Hell yes. I'm also not an NFL scout. I'm not an NFL GM. These guys do weird shit all the time that make no sense. And, you know, when we sit in bars with cold beers in our hands, wondering what the hell they're thinking of. But that's just me. You know, there's a chance Nick slips. and then there's a less of a chance that Penix slips. But there's enough scuttlebutt out there that, you know, it doesn't look like Penix will be a top 10 pick. It doesn't look like Knicks will be a top 15 pick.
You know, Steve, I admit it. I got a hang up, Steve. I got a lot of hang ups, but I admit this hang up. You know, drafting and developing your own quarterback, it's a beautiful thing, Steve, when it works out. It's a beautiful thing. You got the guy on a rookie contract, and then you're very happy to pay him his money once he's established himself as being an elite quarterback. And it just doesn't happen. Steve, it doesn't happen at $1. It never happens. Now, they found Brady. You know, credit Light, credit Arians. I don't care who you want to credit. But Brady's Brady. You know, but these fill-ins, Lee, ultimately, long-term, Jeff Garcia, long-term, it doesn't work, Lee. It does. Brad Johnson, long-term, it doesn't work. I want that draft and develop guy, Lee, and I'm going to keep saying it as long as we do these podcasts.
I don't disagree with you, Ira. You know, this is almost as bad as the Bears in quarterbacks, but at least they had Jim McMahon, who I always thought was damn good.
He was good. Yeah, he was a good quarterback.
He just couldn't stay on the field. He was always hurt. And when he was healthy, they won a Super Bowl.
Steve, I'm tired of the Jeff Garcias, who wasn't bad. He wasn't bad, Steve, but he can only get you so far.
There's the Scott McCowns of the world.
You know, now Lee's right about Brad Johnson. Pretty good. Well, why'd they win the Super Bowl? They had four Hall of Fame players, Lee, on defense. How often is that?
85, yeah.
And Simeon Rice.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Steve, I'm a stickler for this. Can't you draft and develop a quarterback? Can't you do it, Steve, during my lifetime? Can you do it?
Sage, look, you
have... Ira sounds like me whining about defensive end.
It is.
Ira, you go on this rant two or three times a year, so, it's okay. We'll get there. Ira, we'll get you a new hip. We'll get you a new quarterback. We'll get you, a good calzone. We'll take care of you. Sage, you're looking for a guy that'll take you where you want to go. That's Josh Martin of Florida's Elite Restoration. They're family-owned, floridaselite restoration.com. And Josh is giving all your listeners, Ira, if you call them in your time of need, flood, fire, mold, storm damage, Josh will give you $500 back toward restoring your property. If after your free consultation, free evaluation, if you need their services, just mention Ira or JoeBucksFan.com, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Get there today. Understand all their services and why you need to call them first before you call your insurance company when you have that disaster. FloridasElitereStoration.com. And Ira, everybody, this weekend, go shop at Bill Curry Ford. You know what? Shop right now at BillCurryFord.com. You can get some online help. Shopping online is easier than ever. Don't forget their mobile service as well. If you want service done at your house, schedule it. And maybe you work from home. You can get all kinds of things done while you sit at home. Their dealership is amazing, though. Totally reimagined, redefined. It's the biggest and the best in the Tampa Bay area. The giant is back. Bill Curry Ford. Sage, I got to ask you this regarding Jason Light. From your seat high above the peasants and the rest of Tampa Bay media, do you think this is a draft where Jason Light, you've been studying it, where Jason Light looks at the talent and his position and does what he did the Logan Hall year and kind of says, you know, screw it. I'm just trading down. I'm trading out. Gather up some bodies. We had good luck with rookies last year. We're getting younger. We're getting nastier. We got a new special teams coordinator who wants to get more athletic, and we're going to hopefully get better there. And I got guys I like in the second and third round. We got two third-round picks. Let's get another. And you think he just, you know, throws it up in the air and trades out, trades down.
Yeah, I very much think that is a logical scenario for this reason. When you're picking that far down, again, you're going to get the sixth edge rusher in a weak draft for edge rushers. You know, you're probably not going to take a running back at 26, no matter who it is, even though Sean Sullivan says there are some good backs in this draft. You wouldn't think they take a wide receiver at 26. I think trading back, Lee, makes some sense. I'll say this is the last time I'm going to mention Michael Penix on this podcast, Lee. But if he and Bo Nix are scooped up, and of course McCarthy, Daniels, Williams, and May—they'll already be well gone, well before the Bucks pick, and they're not going to trade up to the number six spot to take a quarterback. That's crazy. Lights had a lot of good fortune, Lee, in the third round. That might be the light round. We might have to put a nickname on that, Lee. He's already got 2 third-round picks. I don't put it past him to get another one or two. I don't think that's terrible, Lee. Look, they got holes. Every team has holes, Lee. But I don't think the Bucks holes are that glaring. I don't think they're that glaring.
One is, but
yeah, I'm with you. But maybe this is not the draft to cash in like that, and that goes back
which
to
is exactly why I was going bananas about Hassan Reddick.
But right, I agree. And Reddick was a known quantity, Lee. He was consistent.
See, Ira, wait, you got to help me. I'm serious. I need help. So. We're saying this is not a great draft for edge rushers, right? Is this what we're? This is the scuttlebutt around.
I think that's right.
So, yeah, and we estimate how many edge rushers are going to be taken in the first rounds? 5, 6?
Yeah, 5 or 6. Ooh. Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
know. That's a lot. I'm asking 5, 4?
Yeah, 5 or 6. Yeah.
Okay, let's just say five edge rushers in the first round. But it's not a good year for edge rushers. So that means the guy that the Bucks might get at 26 is really a mid second rounder in another year, you know.
Yes.
Or he's a mid second rounder. Well, either he can freaking play or he can't. So if you believe the guy can play and he's a good top quality second round edge rusher who you think is going to be a 8-9 sack a year guy and might not have 11-13 sack potential, what's wrong with that? You know, I mean, what am I missing here, Ira? Just because it's not a good year, I can still get a good player who can produce if I pick the right guy.
What you're missing is you're probably going to end up with another Joe Tryon-Soyinka. That's what you're missing.
Yeah, but Joe Tryon-Soyinka, he's a fourth-round pick in a first-round body. That's different. That's picking the wrong guy.
Well, Steve, I'm glad you mentioned it because it's one thing that I haven't gotten to in this podcast, Lee. And I'm going to ask Light about this. I'm going to hone in on this. I don't think you can get hung up on a position, Lee. I think that's when you make mistakes. You make mistakes.
You can, but there's two positions you've got to be hung up on. And one is quarterback, and the other is pass, edge rusher. I mean, anybody who doesn't think those are the two most important positions on a football team, they need to go back and start watching high school football. I mean, I don't know what to say. So you better be hung up on those positions, because if you don't have a guy there, you're screwing your team over.
But Lee, what if you're just lukewarm on that particular prospect that's the edge rusher? You're lukewarm about the guy. Should you take him?
Then people need to get off their derrieres and be active in free agency and go get one or make a trade, which Jason Light did once before. To my undying appreciation, he stole JPP from the Giants for a third-round pick. If you and these guys know a year in advance what kind of draft class is coming out, they know. And if they knew that this was going to be weak, and they knew, or they should know, goodness gracious, drunks in a bar know. If they knew that they didn't have an edge rusher, and they knew that they weren't coming out in a draft, well, then go get one that's already in the NFL. Free agency, I don't care. Well, you got me going here. I got to say this. Two of the last three years, the Bucks have been the worst. Not tied, not almost, or just bad. The worst in the NFL, like quarterback pressure percentage. The worst. Now, I'm not a huge quarterback pressure guy, because good quarterbacks pressure doesn't phase them. Sacks change games, period. Sacks are what counts. But obviously, to get a sack, the first step is you got to get pressure. So two of the last 3 years, the Bucks have been the worst in the NFL. The worst. If the Bucks had just an average, think about this. If they had just an average pressure rate, pressure percentage on quarterbacks, I think they're in the NFC title game.
Well,
I don't think that's far-fetched.
Lee, you just went a long way in explaining why very few teams in the league gave up more passing yards than the Buccaneers last year. You just explained it. Quarterbacks got too comfortable most of the time.
And they got good play from their tackle.
Yeah. Steve, I didn't know that stat that Lee dug up. I'm a little surprised. I knew
more
the Bucs.
Dug it up, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little stunned at that, considering, Steve, the disparity between the sack total, which is pretty darn good, and the pressure rate, which apparently is atrocious, that's kind of startling, Steve.
Well, you just watch the games. The eye test, Ira just says that it's not a consistent pass rush. And, you know, I think most coaches would take a consistent rush versus, you know, more sacks. You know, they'd rather have a consistent rush than five extra sacks that just for the stat sheet. And they're kind of in that boat. But, you know, like Lee said, and like we said the last podcast, we're going to find out what they value come draft night, because we'll see what moves are made, including possibly any trades. We're going to see if they believe that they're close, how close they might be to getting to a Super Bowl. You know, I don't rule out them maybe dealing a first-round pick for a player on draft night if they think the guy can help. And who knows what Antoine Winfield Jr.'s contract is going to look like. I'm very curious to see when this thing comes. Is it going to be backloaded, which would give them flexibility this year to add a player making some serious salary? So a lot of questions to be answered, Ira. BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Shop there now. They're amazing. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. And thanks to our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration, FloridasEliteRestoration.com. As Ira likes to say, Josh and his people, they are fantastic, honest, and that's what you need when you have a disaster that affects your biggest investment. FloridasEliteRestoration.com. Sage, besides your hip, do you have anything else on your mind that you need to share with Bucks fans before we head out into the night?
Yeah, Jason Light, he's masterful. We've been through this like 9 years with like this pre-draft press conference, and we get very few headlines, Lee, if any, ever. He's so close to the vest. So, Steve, my job later this week is to get a couple of sound bites out of Jason Light that we can hash over and make for a good podcast.
Now, Lee, you got a closing thought?
Get an edge rusher.
Outstanding, Lee. Consistent.
All right. Hey, Ira, next time I'm going to ask you, I need you to do a little homework. Next time I'm going to ask you about this new kick return rule that's going to turn the NFL upside down on its head. The special teams coach was actually talking this week, had some things to say. But before I ask you, I want you to do your homework. And I think it could be very important to what the Bucks do going forward on a couple levels. So get your work done, Ira. Have yourself a nice salad, and we'll see you next time.
I'm all over it.